for use of an online social network to increase walking in dog owners.
Thanks, Dory. It's actually great that she's introducing me because I met Dory at what I like to call physical activity nerd camp when I was first starting to come up with an idea for this study. So it's kind of come full circle with her introducing me. I want to start out by saying I don't have any financial obligations to disclose, but I do want to acknowledge the funding source, which was funded by a CTSA grant from the University of Massachusetts Medical School. So you might be wondering why I focus on dog walking to increase physical activity, and there's a couple of reasons why I sort of developed my research in this area. One is there's a lot of us that own dogs, and although dog ownership is associated with physical activity, despite that, up to 60% of dog owners aren't meeting the physical activity recommendations, so certainly there's some room for improvement. However, I think one of the most compelling reasons to actually focus on dog walking to motivate physical activity is that we spend a ton of money on our pets, oftentimes in ridiculous ways. And so if we can find a way to take that motivation that decides I've got to have this wiener dog costume for my dog and move it towards physical activity, which we know is so important for dogs, it might actually be able to get people to be a little bit more physically active. I should mention this is not what I have in mind for dog walking. Great that the human's getting some walking, but it'd be nice to see the dog do that as well. So in terms of what we know about whether or not dog walking can be helpful, there's been a couple studies in this area. Kushner did a trial where they took overweight dog owners and overweight dogs and put them in an intervention where they received a traditional weight loss intervention, as well as some dog-specific strategies for increasing physical activity. They compared those participants to non-dog owners who just received the traditional weight loss intervention, and we saw that there were significant increases in physical activity in both conditions, but no significant differences between the conditions. A study by Rhodes took a little bit less intensive perspective and decided, well, let's just give written information on how important it is for dogs to get regular physical activity and give them a calendar to help them record their walks, and compare them to participants who were just told to maintain their traditional walking behavior. Again, we saw an increase in dog walking in our intervention condition, but no significant differences between the conditions. So when we started thinking about, well, how could we intervene on dog walking, certainly we thought that these kinds of individual interventions were important, like let's definitely build up self-efficacy and let's work on addressing barriers to dog walking. But we really took a page from the socio-ecological model and thought, let's also address some of these larger interpersonal, community and society levels of the socio-ecological model to really see if we can build this community of dog owners, thinking that by creating a larger community that might help physical activity sort of maintain over the long term. So when we were building our intervention, we definitely still had those individual skills. We thought we could provide participants with weekly newsletters to address some of the barriers to dog walking, as well as just general physical activity barriers. Given that we know that pedometers can be helpful in terms of increasing physical activity, we thought, well, let's give them a pedometer so they can track their steps on a daily basis. But again, our focus is really on creating this support network of dog owners within their neighborhoods. So to address that, we thought, well, let's have walks within participants' neighborhoods so they can get to know other dog owners and really connect and hopefully create sort of a network that can help support dog walking long term. Because one of the barriers to dog walking is, if any of you own a dog, if they're sort of unruly and not the best walkers, that certainly is, can be a barrier to dog walking. And so we thought, well, one way we could address that is let's have community events that are focused on physical activity, that are dog friendly, so that our dog owner participants could come and interact with an animal behavior expert that we provided on site and address some of those barriers to dog walking, get tips and strategies on, like, my dog barks at everything or runs after every squirrel, like, what can I do to address that? So we wanted to have these community events where people could walk their dogs as well as get feedback from our animal behavior expert. We ended up scheduling three of those per intervention site. Finally, given how much we know about the environment being so important in physical activity, we thought we really want to focus on initiatives that could help make both of the cities where the intervention was going to take place more dog-friendly. One of the cities, Worcester, is actually not a very dog-friendly place. It doesn't have a dog park, and in fact, it's illegal technically to walk your dog in a park, although that's not really adhered to too much. And so we thought, well, if we can get our participants really on board with some of these dog-friendly initiatives, that's certainly going to help in terms of dog walking. In terms of the study, it was a little bit hard to really get engaged in these kinds of larger initiatives. The intervention was only scheduled to be 6 months, and I'm sure you guys know much more than I do how hard it can be to make headway on those types of larger policies. So we really tended to focus more on the individual, interpersonal, and community levels. So once we had this intervention developed, we thought, you know, this is great, we love it, but we wanted to get feedback from dog owners who maybe would have some strategies or ideas about how to improve this. And, I'm jumping ahead of myself. In terms of the whole reason I'm here, right, technology, I forgot to interject that. So in terms of creating this social support network, I was very interested in technology, and I thought, well, let's connect these members, not just in their individual communities, but let's connect them via a social network, a meetup group. And if any of you are familiar with Meetup, it's probably one of the smaller social networks, not maybe as well known as Facebook or Twitter. But the great thing about it is it's really focused on having people meet not just online through the social network, but also within their communities. The whole purpose of Meetup is to meet up, essentially. And so we thought this would be a really nice way to schedule our dog walks in the community. They could see online where it's taking place, how long it was going to be, who's all participating, and then come and join in the walk. The other nice thing about Meetup is, although it is maybe not as popular as Facebook or Twitter, still is pretty popular throughout the world. And one of the things that I was very interested in from day one is making sure that this is something that could potentially be sustained over time. And given that Meetup is something that I didn't create myself, and if we could identify some participants who decided, yeah, I want to keep this going, there certainly would be a framework for doing so. Okay, so we created our meetup group, and this is a good example of what one of our dog walks in the neighborhood looked like. We could post it, provide a map, say how long it was going to be, where we were going to go, and people could sign up and join in on the walk. The other nice thing about Meetup is it had a discussion board feature so that people could post questions and say, like, oh, what do you think of this leash versus that leash? What's been your experience? And they could get feedback on certain topics that way as well. And lastly, in terms of those newsletters that I mentioned, Meetup also provides an opportunity to post them on the Meetup so that we could do that on a weekly basis and participants could connect with them when at their leisure when they wanted to. So now, once we created this, wanted to get feedback from dog owners in terms of what they thought. You know, we thought this was great, but what do other people think? Because this is going to be taking place in the communities, we created two community advisory boards, one in Worcester and one in Lowell, Massachusetts, that consisted of dog owners as well as our community partners. We also did focus groups with dog owners in both of these neighborhoods to make sure to look through the meetup groups, see what their concerns were, get their feedback on the community events and the neighborhood dog walks, all of that, and on the newsletter content. For the most part, they were pretty positive about it. They did make one suggestion, which I thought was fantastic, in that they thought it would be so important to have sort of an introductory session where the dog owners could meet one another and come up with guidelines for what they wanted the meetup group to be and how they wanted the walks to go and that sort of thing. And I thought that was a great idea. I wish I would have came up with it, actually, because it makes a lot of sense. You know, you're bringing all these strangers together, and they were really concerned about how their dogs were going to act with one another. And by bringing them all together initially to sort of set up these guidelines, we could start having them take ownership of the group as well. In terms of transitioning, again, to that sustainability piece, I really wanted them to feel like this is their group. This is not the studies group. And so I think that introductory session was nice in order to do that. So now that we had our intervention developed, we were ready to start recruitment for the pilot RCT. We decided that we had to do cluster randomization for this study because we were going to be doing neighborhood walks. We were concerned that participants in our meetup condition could live right next door or in the same neighborhood as participants in the control condition if we would have done individual randomization. So we ended up choosing 8 neighborhoods in Worcester and Lowell, 4 that received the meetup intervention and 4 that received our control condition, which was individuals who received monthly emails with content from the American Heart Association on starting a physical activity program. We had 2 meetup groups because we had these 2 cities, Worcester and Lowell, and we did assessments at baseline and 6 months, which was right after the conclusion of the intervention. The intervention was 24 weeks. We kept our inclusion criteria pretty minimal. Obviously, you needed to own a dog, and we wanted sedentary folks, so we limited them to 8,000 steps or less. And this is sort of the flow through the study. Initial interest, people would call in through a telephone screen. If they met those initial eligibility criteria, then they were scheduled for a baseline session where we gave them an activity monitor, had them give us steps for a week. And we ended up recruiting 102 participants, 59 to Worcester and 43 to Lowell. Our primary outcome was activity monitor steps, and we had secondary outcomes, one being feasibility. I was really concerned, are we going to get people at all to even sign up for this meetup group? Are they going to continue to use it throughout the intervention? As I mentioned before, we were really interested in creating this dog-friendly community of dog owners, so we measured that through a sense of community and social support. We ended up creating a dog-friendly subscale sort of based on the total sense of community items. We are also interested in how whether or not the meetup could be helpful in terms of addressing perceived barriers to dog walking, so we measured that, as well as sustainability, as I've mentioned. For our analysis of the primary outcomes, we use mixed models. Of course, our main interest being in the time by condition interaction. Because we did that cluster randomization, neighborhood was nested within our condition variable to account for the clustering. We did unadjusted models as well as adjusted models. Because we only had 8 communities, I was concerned that we'd see differences between our conditions on some key physical activity variables. So we looked at differences between conditions on variables that are traditionally associated with physical activity. We ended up seeing some differences in environmental barriers, maybe not too surprising given what we've seen with Guinevere's presentation. We also had a pretty long baseline assessment period from January to May, and we ended up finding a significant difference in the month that participants completed that baseline session, with more of our meetup participants completing baselines towards the April and May assessment time period as opposed to the January-February. Certainly, Massachusetts weather is maybe a factor in walking, and so we ended up, because that was significantly different between the conditions, controlling for that as well in our unadjusted models, or in our adjusted models. I will present results that were consistent between the two models. So here's a breakdown of our participants. Not too surprising given what I just told you about when they completed that baseline assessment. We did see differences between conditions on baseline steps per day, with the meetup condition having significantly more steps than our control condition. But other than that, the participants were pretty similar on our other demographics. And we had decent retention on our primary outcome at 6 months, 83% had completed that assessment. So these are our main results with activity monitor. In both conditions, we saw an increase in steps over time. And although the meetup group did increase their steps more than the American Heart Association condition, we didn't see a significant time by condition interaction. Possibly due to the fact that when I powered for this study, I was not anticipating that our control condition would increase their steps at all, for that matter. But certainly I was glad to see that at least steps increased in both conditions. We did see, however, significant time by condition effects for the dog friendliness that participants rated, with meetup participants rating their community as more dog friendly at 6 months, whereas the control condition did not change at all. And we saw an increase in the perceived benefits of dog walking, in that participants in the meetup condition reported more benefits and a greater increase in benefits at 6 months compared to the control condition, which didn't see any increase. In terms of feasibility, we're pleased to see that in general, logins to our meetup website, and this is measured by Google Analytics with our staff logins subtracted out, were pretty consistent over the course of the 24-week intervention and averaged about 58 logins per week. So pretty decent in terms of people didn't just drop off the face of the earth after the first 3 weeks, which we were glad to see. Although we were far from perfect in that six participants didn't sign up for the meetup at all, never logged in, never created a login, anything like that. Primarily, it seems sort of due to lack of interest. I was so surprised by this, but we had 55% of our participants who didn't attend any of the community events, and that possibly could be that a lot of our participants felt like they didn't have problems with their dogs and like that they all were really well behaved, but that was one thing that I was really surprised about. You get this free access to this dog expert and you're not going to come, but maybe they just weren't interested in the event either. It also seemed like we had a significant portion of participants that maybe would log into the website but never really interact with it in a way that might be called lurkers, essentially, and that about 40% never commented on the meetup website at all. In terms of our newsletters, we seem to see sort of a normally distributed pattern. 7% didn't read any of them, but almost 30% read all 24 of them. And in terms of that pedometer use, it seemed to be sort of a bimodal distribution where we had some people that loved it and used it daily or almost daily, and almost 40% who never really used it at all. So certainly some room for improvement, so learn from my mistakes here. One thing, I had done such a good job of making sure that there weren't any other meetup groups that were focused on dog walking, but I neglected to check Facebook, and there was a Lowell dog walking Facebook group that I think maybe hindered our recruitment efforts in that city and maybe sort of took interest away from the meetup group. I think we could have done a better job of facilitating connections outside of the meetup. As I said before, from day one, I really wanted the participants to make this their group. And I encouraged them over and over again, like, you know, start your own walk. You know, you don't have to just have us start these neighborhood walks. You know, you can also post on there, and no one did. They would say to us, you know, we had started with bi-weekly dog walks, and they would say, well, how about we do them weekly? And so then we had the study had weekly dog walks, but they would never take that initiative to schedule their own dog walk. We also did see a little bit of attendance decline over time in the walks, possibly due to maybe weather, in that the Worcester meetup group intervention ended at the end of October and Lowell ended at the end of November. So, but it also could just be, you know, novelty wore off. They didn't want to walk with us anymore. And certainly, even though we saw steps increase, certainly still below recommended levels in terms of where we'd want to be in physical activity. And possibly maybe that would have been improved if we could have had more neighborhood walks scheduled. Who knows? The other thing, although I was so excited about our age range and that we had participants from 25 to 80 sign up for this study, that could have actually gone against us. We had such small sample sizes in the meetup group, and so some of our younger members might have felt a little bit isolated or disconnected since they were younger than some of the average participants, and so that could have potentially hurt us in the long run. But despite some of these negatives, I am delighted to say that we've been able to sustain the meetup groups. 2 months after both intervention groups ended, we were able to identify members of the meetup that said, yeah, I'll take on the organization of these groups. And so our staff have completely stopped scheduling neighborhood walks and being responsible for posts and monitoring content. And we have members that are now completely running these groups. Worcester's been a little bit more successful than Lowell, again, possibly due to that Lowell Facebook group. But Worcester now has over 143 members. And they just switched about 2 months ago from monthly to weekly dog walks. So I've been very pleased about that. In closing, I just want to say thank you to all my collaborators at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, as well as UMass Lowell, and our community partners, Claire Savage from Common Pathways, and thanks for your time and attention.